You know, you can make your spirits brighter, and I'm not talking about your personal inner spirits. Yeah. No, I'm talking about your alcoholic spirits.
Ah.
You can make them brighter with some imagination and dazzling drink recipes, including martinis, punches, eggnog, and so many more seasonal favorites. Well, we wanted to figure all of that out, so we called up our friend Chris Weld from Berkshire Mountain Distillers, who's here to tell us how to make some awesome cocktails for the holidays. Now, as I've mentioned this before, Ray has mentioned this before, it is in our respective contracts that when one of us does a show that involves alcohol, the other one is in on the segment as our DD.
That's right.
Designated drinker. And then you come in and help us out, and we're thrilled to have Ray Graff with us. We're also thrilled to have Chris Weld here from Berkshire Mountain Distillers, established 10 years ago. Can you believe it's been 10 years, Chris?
Only feels like 20. Thank you for having me, by the way.
It's great to have you here. You know them from the Ragged Mountain Rum, Ice Glen Vodka, Berkshire Bourbon, New England Corn Whiskey, Ethereal Gins. They are the best, and it's an honor and a wonderful way to kick off the holidays. By the way, this is tailgating for our WAMC holiday party, so it's very fun.
Oh, my gosh. What, is that today?
Yeah.
Convenient.
Yeah,
make it a double then.
I should have brought a bigger batch with me.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I left the punch bowl at home knowing it wouldn't have room on the desk here.
You know, we think of this as the holiday time. Of course, there's a lot of parties, a lot of get-togethers before, during Hanukkah, during Christmas, and then, of course, to celebrate the new year. So this is a time where a lot of us get together, and just common sense is okay, and we can get things started.
Great.
So, I mean, you know, we just sort of have to take our make sure that we're careful, but we can still have a good time.
I think that's a good point, and I think we should touch on a little social responsibility aspect here. So at Berkshire Mountain Distillers, one of our mottos is drink better, drink less. And so how's that sound? It's kind of antithetical of what you think a person who makes a living selling booze would say, but
just looking for Ray's approval, but he seems right. All right with us.
Clearly, this has been lawyered, so continue.
Right. So, clearly. No, I think it's important, especially in this day and age. I mean, traditionally, when you talk about holiday seasons and parties, much of the caution has been around DUIs.
Right.
Absolutely.
Which is first of all, people die every year. Second of all, it's $20,000 a pop for the first one.
Good God.
Third of all, it's a night in jail away from your loved ones. And this year, I guess the word would be interesting, and I hear a lot of it on your station, the talk has gone to office parties and sexual harassment.
Yeah.
This is a wonderful thing to bring up. We're getting this out of the way, by the way, and then we're going to start making drinks.
Yeah.
But
you're really selling the product,
I know,
Chris.
So,
it's going
you
great.
Know, we're trying to be responsible here. But I think that, you know, I think that we just have to be wary and cognizant of the fact. So,
although don't you get a sense that and I don't want to speak for Ray, but I think we're both in the same boat where we're old enough and we're just at an age where, you know what, we just want to stay home.
I think I've probably reached that age.
Yeah,
as well.
You want to stay home, you want to have some friends over, they stay the night or whatever, and you make arrangements and you come in, you have a very nice time.
Right. So okay, so we're going to talk about parties, right?
All right,
so
yeah,
that part is out of the way.
All right.
Maybe, you know, serve a low alcohol punch at the end of the night or something.
Sounds
good. To wean people off.
All right.
Yeah.
Stop serving after the third
right,
quarter.
Right, so here we go. We've got a few things here to start off with. And I think part of the party planning is having your ducks in a row, right? So the ounce of prevention certainly works for this. And I don't know, maybe there's a saying in there somewhere. But I think it's important if you're batching
for ducks.
Ounce of prevention, or splash of vermouth.
It's worth an 8-ounce cocktail or something. I don't know. So I think, you know, I'm always scrambling last minute. Obviously, the party's more enjoyable if you're all set. You've got punches made ahead of time. Your bar is all set. Whether you have somebody serving, I sort of like to be the host and make individual drinks because then it guarantees that I see everyone coming into the party.
That's right.
One of the things we do a lot in my biz is we end up batching drinks because if all of a sudden you have an onslaught of people that come out of a performance and you need 80 drinks, you can't make them one at a time. So it's nice to have something you can batch with. There's a gentleman by the name of David Wondrich, who's a cocktail historian. He's got a wonderful book called Punch, and this is a tad paraphrastic off of one of his recipes, but it's a Ragged Mountain rum punch. There's not much room for rum in there, is there? You can pretend this is a punch bowl with a noise here. But so this is a strong black tea. I used a Harney tea on this one. A little bit of Demerara sugar.
That was Harney tea, by the way.
With an A.
Yeah.
some fresh lime juice.
Yes.
And this is our Ragged Mountain Rum here.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
It's a great sound.
It sure is. It
sounds... So that's, maybe I should have brought
How are you going to stir that?
I don't know. This is, it's going to go on your floor. But
that's all right.
That's what
Wouldn't
that's
be
what
the first time.
That's what we call alcohol abuse in the trade. So I did bring three glasses in.
So that's a rather simple rum punch. I remember back in the old days, my father made a very complicated rum punch.
Right.
Champagne and, a bunch of liquor. And this is very,
I think we're posting, we have a holiday cocktail recipe guide that may end up on your website. And there are some very complicated recipes. I like to keep it simple, for me especially. So I might just pour this here.
So this is tea, lime juice, and rum.
Sugar and rum. Yep.
So a simple syrup with that? Or just sugar?
No, it's just a Demerara sugar in it. And then we're going to grate some of this wonderful nutmeg on top of it.
Okay.
I think part of this is a ritual, right? If you're making a drink, it's nice to have the ritual. People like to see it. It's like grinding coffee or something.
They want to see the little...
Yeah. Doesn't that sound,
sounds good. Great? No, it sounds great.
So here's
good
this.
For the radio.
Okay.
The big ice cubes won't fit in the small glasses.
That's fine.
Nice and cold.
Here we go.
So we say happy holidays.
Yeah,
happy holidays
for all of you. All right.
Let's wait for the host to...
Oh, thank you very much, Ray. Thank you very much.
Cool your jets.
So this is a great punch. I'm a chemistry guy. Cheers, gentlemen.
Cheers to you.
Thank you for having me. That's pretty nice.
Oh, man.
Very smooth and very
light.
Oh, that
is very smooth.
So one of the problems with this drink, and it's sort of like...
Don't say a problem with it.
Don't say it. Well, it's perfect in the morning. So this the problem with this is solved in the morning. But it is we normally quit drinking by 9.
Okay.
this is a caffeinated tea, and so the half-life of caffeine tends to be quite long.
Right.
So it's sort of, akin to the young folks drinking a Red Bull and vodka, which leaves you at 4 in the morning awake and hungover. So you might want to substitute a decaf tea I would say.
So now tell us about the rum.
So the rum is our Ragged Mountain rum, and we've been making this for 10 years. This is about our first fermentation. It's a sipping rum. It's an honest sort of New England style rum. A lot of commercial rums are flavored and such.
Beautiful color.
Thank you.
It just seems perfect.
It tastes perfect in
it
my
does,
mind, too.
It does, absolutely.
So, a lot of great press. We double gold in San Francisco at their spirits competition. Maxim, GQ, and Details all picked it as their craft rum of choice. And then a couple years ago, I think we moved up the ladder, and Playboy picked it as the spirit of choice for Massachusetts.
I'll be darned.
I don't know if that's moving down the ladder, however, sideways. But
I'm sorry. I just have to ask for some clarification on this. So Playboy just did it just for Massachusetts?
They came out. I don't know why Mass. No. There have been 250-state roundups
of
craft spirits I've been in business.
Playboy just had a Massachusetts division.
No. And we happened to get the nod for Mass for both of them. One was with Wine Enthusiast, and they picked Greylock Gin.
Yep.
And one was with Playboy, and they picked our rum.
Hugh dies, and everything goes to hell. Yeah.
How long does it take to make a rum?
The making of the rum is not the issue. It's the aging of the rum. So our
Before it hits the bottle, how long does it take?
Very quickly, the sugars in molasses, which we use, are quite accessible to the yeast. So it's a rapid fermentation of a few days. And then we do a triple distillation technique, and that takes us, by the time we batch it, a few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So we're a month start to finish in the barrel.
But what I love about this is because of the tea primarily, but it is not overly sweet. It's just a lovely, delicate balance.
Right. And you could cut the sugar. I'm not a big sweet drinks fan.
Yeah.
So you could cut the sugar down a bit, and you could garnish it with a lime. But
very good. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. We'll take the ice cubes out so it doesn't dilute, and you can serve that at your Christmas party. Later.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea.
No.
You don't want to have the staff all liquored up.
Just us.
Yeah.
We'll keep it.
This
is
work.
I'll slip it under the desk here.
There you go.
So they say for planning that it's best to have the host should have the first drink.
Really? Oh, to make sure it's okay? Kind
of, well, I don't think it's like tasting the king's food. I think it's more of the social lubricant component of it to settle the nerves a bit.
Oh, okay. All right. You sort of get the party started, as it
right.
were.
Right. And then for planning, it's typically two drinks for the first hour, per person, and then a drink a person an hour after that, with a caveat that you probably want to wind people down, get them ready for the road.
Yeah.
So,
do you follow those rules, Ray?
We don't.
You don't have to.
We
say
don't entertain
on air
at all. So.
Yeah, you don't have to say.
Yeah, we're just.
Well, if you can stay
alone,
home,
right?
That's fine. So, so we let's see. What do we got next, you guys? We can do a French 75.
Okay. Do you want to take a break first, or do you want to wait for the break?
We could take a break.
Let's take a break. We'll let you get ready. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation. Chris Weld is here from Berkshire Mountain Distillers. He is showing us how to make some wonderful cocktails for the holidays. Ray Graff is here as well, helping me figure all of this out. We welcome you to continue listening right after this short break. Yeah, they end up. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. No, not to our panel discussion. Good Lord, where that was over with.
It's kind of a panel. No, it is. And actually, there are some upsides to this panel.
Well, many, actually. This is our holiday cocktail segment on the roundtable. We are pleased to have Chris Weld from Berkshire Mountain Distillers with us. We had a lovely rum punch
with iced tea, with Harney tea.
Yes.
Some lime. Some sugar. Very delicious.
Terrific. Now, the next drink up for bids is what?
We're going to have a French 75.
Now, what's
okay.
That?
So French 75 is a gin-based drink with champagne, lemon juice, simple syrup. I think that's about
it. Why the name?
The name was, it started in, believe it or not, France, around World War I. And it's called a 75 because they felt that it packed the wallop of a 75-millimeter shell. So there,
wow.
There you go.
Well.
So.
good radio awaits.
There you
sign
go.
Sign us up, Chris.
How's that for my cocktail history?
That's, wait, now, which of your gins are you using?
So we're going to use Greylock Gin, which is our sort of flagship gin.
Straight
London
up
dry style.
London beautiful gin.
Number one craft gin in the country, New York Times.
Is
now,
it really?
Now, let me just ask. I know it's not quite up with a Playboy honor, but let me ask you the difference between the Greylock Gin and the Ethereal Gin.
Sure. Greylock Gin, juniper, coriander, angelica, orris, orange, cinnamon, licorice, 7 botanicals, 80-proof gin, London dry style, juniper forward, stays the same.
Okay.
Consistent for 10 years.
Got it.
Ethereal is a batch-driven gin. So we change a recipe every batch. And along with that change of recipe comes a new batch number on the back and a different label color. And so batch 14 is out now. And that one has more of a traditional gin backbone, but it also has Citra hops in it. So kind
okay.
of a, it's a
very
hip,
good.
One of the new hip hops.
Now, so we're using Greylock Gin in this particular 75.
Correct. So this is so in the shaker, I've got gin and simple syrup and lemon juice. And then we're just going to give that a quick shake.
Radio gold.
How's
absolutely.
That, huh? Then we're going to strain this.
We should say we were going to have, at one point, we were going to have a champagne cork go off to fully celebrate. But it misfired. You know, that happens when you get older.
It certainly does.
And it misfired and went off during the break.
It hit the ceiling.
Yeah,
during
it was
the break.
Great. It was so very. It was
you guys
great.
Don't have a canned. You know, we can't well, do it. That's pretty
go.
Good.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so that
very
was
good.
A champagne, excellent. Little French champagne. So the gin and the lemon juice and the simple syrup was shaken and strained into a cocktail or a champagne flute. Those look like champagne flutes, right?
Well, mm-hmm. That's
so this is your French 75.
Like a piccolo, actually.
Yeah. Got a Harvey Wallbanger in that champagne flute.
Oh, that's also a gorgeous color.
Well, are you going to join us here, sir?
You know, I am not.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Well,
happy
holidays. Merry Christmas,
home.
Joe.
To you, Grant. Thank you. Oh,
so
man.
that's an older kind of standby.
Okay, so go over the ingredients. I know we're going to put this up on the website, but let's go over those ingredients.
So that's an ounce of gin.
An ounce of gin.
3/4 ounce of simple syrup, which is basically half water, half sugar.
Okay.
1/2 ounce of fresh squeezed lemon juice, and then shake that, strain it into a champagne flute, and top it with champagne.
Man.
Yeah.
That's lovely. Really, really lovely.
Tastes like wink. It's good.
A wink were you drinking?
Yeah. And so again, at a party with something like that, I would, you know, shake 8 ounces of gin with a bunch of simple syrup and pour that out over 8 glasses.
And that was the batches that you were
talking about. And batches,
And then once economy you move on, then, you know, so you present this and then you present something
right.
else.
And you would traditionally serve this in a champagne flute?
Correct.
Hmm.
Yep.
That's very good.
Yeah, very delicious.
I like that.
Ball jar, whatever.
Yeah.
Now that's what happens in my house.
That's in the Berkshires.
A Fred Flintstone cup.
It used to be the kid's sippy cup.
Right. It'll work.
Cover up the holes with your finger.
Mommy's little helper. Sure.
All right. So, now, what else do we have to help us get, I was going to say get through the holidays, but to celebrate the holidays.
I was just going to mention a neat sounding, which I honestly have not made, bourbon milk punch recipe. And I think we're going to throw this up also. It's a little bit more complicated. throw it up on the website
on
is
the
what
website.
I meant.
All right. Okay.
There you
very
go.
Very good.
Bourbon milk punch.
Listen to the ingredients. Tell me what you think. So a little heated caramel to rim 2 glasses with. And then it's cinnamon sugar, 2 pints of vanilla ice cream, 1 teaspoon vanilla extract, 1 teaspoon of honey, 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, and 1 cup of bourbon. And you blend that.
Wow.
Put it in one of those cups. Top it with whipped cream.
Garnish with insulin.
And shake a little Lipitor on the top of it.
Yeah,
there you
that
go.
Sounds great.
So that sounded like a nice sort of holiday drink.
Now, what about a nog?
We have, we do nogs with bourbon, and we do Ooh. It with rum. And we do a lot of hot mulled ciders this time of year as
okay.
well. And I think if I look at this list, we have a bourbon hot toddy on it and a bourbon nog and a nutmeg stout nog.
Well, that's interesting.
And a cider ginger cocktail. So a lot of great holiday stuff on this sheet here.
My point in the drink that you were just mentioning and gave us the recipe to, but also to nogs, that milk is often a part of that. Milk, cream, right?
Correct.
So there's some dairy in there.
There is some dairy in there.
And does that typically go well with alcohol?
It does. You know, from a production standpoint, it's a bit more complicated to keep them so that they coalesce and stay
right.
that way in the bottle. From a, you know, shake and serve thing, it goes very well.
So
Bailey's Irish Cream is probably
sure.
the most
famous.
Popular.
Yeah. Now, what else do we get to? All, what else?
What else did we bring here? Well, I brought some bourbon for your holiday party.
Okay. Perfect.
Or for now. You guys can. I won't watch.
No, we're going to christen
I
the
love
ship.
I love the Berkshire bourbon.
So,
I think it's fantastic.
What do you make
so,
with the Berkshire bourbon?
What do I make of it?
Yeah. What do you make with it?
Bourbon.
Okay, you just drink,
oh,
you just
yeah.
drink the bourbon. You
oh, yeah.
Not a mixed drink.
Not a Manhattan or...
How long will you barrel age the bourbon?
As long as we can. So we're about, you asked that about the rum before. The rum is about 6 years now. The bourbon is probably 4.
The reason I ask, and I won't mention names largely because I can't remember the name, but it was a regional distillery, and they had a bourbon. It was 3 months. It had an edge. And I said, well, let's try this in 3 years because
right.
it was not where it should be. It was
well,
okay.
It's when I started, there were 50 of us in the country, and now there are 14 to 1600. So
mm-hmm.
it's a competitive field and you're playing in a, you know, playground with the big boys.
Yep.
And so when you start off, you need to get some money in the bank. And
yep.
so people will tend to age in smaller barrels and put it out quickly. I think if we had our druthers, we would all have it age longer. And fortunately, we started with a couple big stills, so we're getting to the point where we're catching up on some inventory and, you know, we're going to have we'll have an 8-year-old rum pretty soon.
How long can you leave a bourbon in a barrel before it doesn't matter? In other words, I've had Pappy 23, which is phenomenal stuff. But what if you went 50 years? Is it going to be markedly better?
There was a release of a 40-year-old bourbon. The problem is you have Angel's Share, so every year 7-ish percent comes out of that barrel. So by the time you get to 40 years, you're only a couple gallons left.
Then you have to drink the barrel. You have to squeeze the wood.
So Pappy's and some of the Parkers at 20 years are great. Some of them at 20 years taste like you're, you know, like it's plank.
Yeah.
Just eating
yeah,
an old plank.
Right. You got it.
So it really depends. I've got some rums that are over 20 years, and some of them are beautiful, and some of them are
very interesting.
Not so good.
I'm going to state the obvious here, but it seems, though, you're absolutely right. You start 40 when you started, you said? 40, have you, around the country?
About that, yeah, 40, 50.
But you look now, you've been here 10 years. I mean, you do have the advantage as far as having your name out there, of getting the recognition from all these publications and people knowing the product, knowing that it's local, and knowing that it's very, very good.
Right, thank you. So I think one of the things that has helped us in the last few years is we moved off my farm 3 years ago to a distillery in town that we built. And so we have a retail shop there. I'm going to plug the retail shop for a second. And we have an open house this weekend. Typically, we do tours on the weekends, and those are booked tours. This weekend on Saturday, we just have an open house, cheese and crackers, complimentary tastings type of thing.
Right, so before the holidays?
Noon to five, right.
Try everything and see what you...
But everyone who walks out of there has seen how we do things. We do things a little bit differently than most. And so, everyone walks out as being a little mini brand ambassador. And we have one-offs there, like this Ethereal Garden Gin that is distillery only that's,
Why do you call it garden gin?
We have three commercial greenhouses and a bunch of gardens there, so it ends up getting botanicals that we've grown in.
Okay.
So a whole bunch of different things.
The standard botanicals or something special?
Some wacky stuff, lemon, verbena, hyssop, but angelica and licorice that we harvest that we grow. And
So to the listeners, I say to just be a little bit of patient, but we'll get these recipes up on the website. It's wamc.org/roundtable. Also, to find out more about the great product, you have to be over 21, of course, but to get on the website for Berkshire Mountain Distillers, just go to berkshiremountaindistillers.org, and you can go to the website there. You can find out about their open house this weekend. You can find out about their wonderful products. You can read the backstory between Chris and his whole team there. Chris, we thank you very much for coming in. We wish you a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thank you so much for sharing with us. It's lovely to have you here, and I can't think of a nicer way to celebrate the holidays.
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Raymond, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.